everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 112, the weekly podcast from GamesRadar.com, the best video game website the internet's ever seen. I'm Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with...
Maxwell McGee.
Frank Adams.
Jan Jones.
Wow, what an exciting episode this is, guys. Oh, boy. We're going to try for a quick one, though. I guess you'll know how quick it is because it'll already be finished when you listen to it and you'll see the length of it.
So don't, you don't spoil it for the listeners.
Spoiler alert.
It'll be weird if this ends up being like a 2-hour long episode and they start going like,
"Who's talking to us?"
All right, so this week's top seven is definitely an audio sensation. It is the top seven insane video game musical numbers no one asked for, as written by Tony Wilson, our old intern buddy.
Now, I'm curious to know how every musical number from the first Kingdom Hearts game didn't end up on this list.
I think we all expected that Little Mermaid songs would be in there.
I suppose, but it was a little painful.
So I think that there's going to be a follow-up top seven at some point about other musical numbers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there's no end to the unasked for musical number. Actually, this is going to be a very musical episode too, because there's another, like in our reviews section, spoilers. We have another musical thing to talk about. But okay, first off, on the list is number seven, the funky.
I appreciate the effort.
The
good.
Funky credits to Rogue Warrior. Let's give them a quick listen here.
Let's take a listen.
Fucking ninja style. I'm gonna bring it to him.
You do that.
I'm gonna show him what time it is.
Is this Mickey Rourke?
It is.
I'm
about to bring the noise. Ah. You morons will love this.
Talk down to me and just
say some words for like 2.5 minutes, and we'll just put a beat on top of it. It'll be fine. You're doing great.
So yeah, Rogue Warrior is a terrible game that nobody liked, and based on like the books of Richard Marcinko. Yeah, be careful with that word.
Hello.
What's with a K?
He was a real life black ops dude who like has killed people and stuff, and then he started writing his own books about being a black ops dude. Oh, that must mute that. Anyway, yeah, but his own books about being a black ops dude, and then that got turned into a video game, and then the part of him is voiced by Mickey Rourke.
The video game is not based on anything that actually happened. It's a made-up adventure of this dude. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Like a what if.
But he... And the answer to what if is that he swears a lot and stabs people in the neck. And... In a very
well,
like,
he might have done a lot of that in real life. You don't know.
I bet he did, unless he's all talk. But I don't think he is. I'm not going to say that about you. Yeah, no. But
sorry, Richard.
So Mickey Rourke is
it's his evil alter ego.
He's such an old grouchy dude now, and like a plastic face.
Oh, and the young Mickey Rourke was beautiful. I mean, he was dreamy.
He had a motor. Was it a motorcycle?
No. Well, it was boxing. He decided he wanted to be a boxer.
Was it boxer? And I thought it was MMA.
No, I think it was It was straight up like boxing, and he just jacked his face.
Was that what gave him the plastic face?
Well,
then they had to fix it.
Then
face.
There was the. Then I think there was a motorcycle accident. So you figure all of the damage from getting pounded in the face. And then a motorcycle accident. And he was never the same. But, you know, if you want, go back and look at Diner, and you will see the true glory of Mickey Rourke.
For 9.5 weeks, he was handsome.
I'm trying to keep this a little.
a PG-13.
Less blood.
Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. All of them.
But so anyway, after all that, he became the grumpy voice of the main character in Rogue Warrior. And after like a grim and grisly game, they decided to lighten the mood over the credits by putting together a song just out of clips of him talking from the game.
So he
didn't even just rap. Like, I doubt if they had Mickey Rourke in the recording booth, they're like, "So, how about we rap?"
And you just freestyle a little bit for me.
So no, it's just clips together.
In the rain or in the snow. Sorry.
So that's the only reason anybody remembers the game Rogue Warrior, and probably the last time it will be spoken of on this podcast. Number six, The Great Mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day. So anybody else here play Conker's Bad Fur Day back in the day or the re-release?
This is not Winnie the Pooh, by the way. This is actual feces.
Very different. Well, here, let's give a little listen to The Great Mighty Pooh here.
Is it constipated?
I think it is.
Prepare your ears.
All right, everyone.
Me.
This is a pile of shit. So.
I am the Great Mighty Pooh, and I'm going to throw my shit at you. A huge supply of tish come from my chocolate starfish. How about some scat, you little twat?
So, yes, that's...
Wow.
Yeah, that's that was on a Nintendo system.
What?
So, yeah,
what the fudge was that? No pun intended.
So it was made by Rare of Donkey Kong Country, Banjo-Kazooie.
Who could just get away with anything at that point.
I think what happened was they were so sick of making cutesy games.
Right.
Like, and Conker was planned to be another of those cutesy games. And then all of a sudden they just were like, Nintendo, please, let's just make something disgusting. And that's a funny joke. And Nintendo was cool with it. They're like, yeah, fine, go ahead. It'll be M-rated, and we'll keep it away from the children and just put it out. And it's all over the place. Like, it's not a very linear or sensical game, and it's just kind of episode to episode. And early on, you have to save two dung. Well, first you make a giant pile of shit by feeding prunes to a cow who then has very graphic, disgusting shit. And then that comes to life as the Great Mighty Pooh, who sings about how he's poop and he will throw his poop at you.
Did this game come out in Japan, or was it?
It was American
territories only.
Well, I wonder if it did come out in Japan. But the other weird thing about the game is that it was barely, the language was pretty uncensored in the N64 version. Mm-hmm. Then when it came out on the Xbox original,
okay,
that it actually got censored more. Like, Nintendo, Microsoft was like, bleep out some of those use of the word shit. Like, it was a really fun level.
Odd for something to be more vulgar on a Nintendo platform, mm-hmm, than on the freewheeling Xbox platform.
It was the same on BMX XXX. Like, they had much dirtier cutscenes of the strippers in BMX XXX on the GameCube version than on the PS2 and Xbox versions for some strange reason.
See, that makes me think they would have only come out in the Western territories, and Nintendo was like, we don't care.
Japan would see
Western
it,
audience
so.
Love that stuff. We're not going to release it here. You guys, just do whatever. Have fun.
Also, that song taught me as a teen about British sayings for poop, like tish. Like, he just says, my huge supply of tish. I'm like, does tish mean shit in the UK? Because it's developed in Twycross. That's where Rare is based. I don't know where that is in England. We'd have to ask the Games Radar UK staff for answers on that. Number 5, the bonus room from Skull Monkeys. Let's give this a listen here.
Here's a little bonus room, because I know you've had it tough. And here's a little bonus tune about collecting real cool stuff. Yes, here's a little bonus room.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Like, it's Skull Monkeys is a goofy ass game anyway, but it's more in your face with jokes. It's this like claymation adventure game from the creators of Earthworm Jim.
Ooh,
and okay. So that's Interplay, right?
Yeah, and so that's why it's all off the wall in that way. But the bonus room is a really unexpected off the wall thing where you just walk into this extra room. And instead of, like, an in-your-face joke, it's just a twee acoustic number about just how cool bonus rooms are. And how they're going to help you out in this bonus room.
Sounded very, very the original Hobbit cartoonish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or just...
I got kind of a
the
Mr. Rogers
adventure
vibe.
I got a Lemmy Winks.
Yeah, the Lemmy
Well,
Winks.
Lemmy Winks, I think, was like...
Was Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Bravest little hobbit of them all.
My first thought when you said... Hobbit song, I thought of the Leonard Nimoy's tribute to Bilbo Baggins, which sounds nothing like that song.
Bilbo Baggins. Bravest little hobbit of them all.
Wow, we all know way too many words to that song.
So Skull Monkeys is getting a spiritual successor on Kickstarter, whose name I can't remember. I think it's called Neverhood was a spiritual successor, and then the spiritual successor to that got kickstarted.
It's a very spiritual series.
There's a lot. I've been neck deep in spiritual successors. I can't keep them straight anymore. I'm working on a separate feature, guys. But that's neither here nor there. Number four, Party Time from Night Trap.
Uh-oh. Oh, Dana Plato.
Mm-hmm. All right,
party.
Let's have a party.
Music.
Yeah. It's getting real 80s in here right now.
Skip a little here.
Megan. Yeah, Megan. Yeah, Megan. Rocking out on that racket. Let's just watch this whole thing. Let's just watch the whole thing.
I can listen to that all day.
Now, don't you, like, lose the game if you listen to the whole song? Because something bad is happening elsewhere in the house.
You get
and
so
just,
involved in the song that, like, song. You get killed.
So a little background on Night Trap, which was a very bad game. But so in the early 90s, the coolest thing you could do in a video game is to put a movie in it.
Yeah, it was.
Except space only allowed for, like, postage stamp-sized video resolutions on it. And so here was Night Trap, a slasher film as a video game where you're basically just pressing buttons to make sure a new video plays. Like, there's very little gameplay. So you have these teen girls who aren't teens, but one of them being Dana Plato, the late Dana Plato of Different Strokes, who are being attacked by monsters in this place, and you have to prevent the monsters from attacking them. In the beginning of the game, they sing the theme to Night Trap, like, Night Trap, da-da-da. You know, actually, let's go to the chorus on that real quick.
Party!
Party!
Oh,
man.
So...
Yes.
You'll be caught in the night. Night Trap.
How has, you know, Always Sunny in Philadelphia not done something like, I mean, they have Night Man, but that just seems so prime.
And that song is really cool and you want to watch the whole thing, but you have to watch for the button prompts on the bottom or else one of the girls will get killed. And then the police guy who's your boss in the game goes like, you're just watching girls sing, you lose, game over, boom, back to the start. Like, it is cruel. And this also is a game that Congress got angry over. Even though it's like it would be like a PG-13 horror film at best today.
Yeah.
Now it's back then it was like, oh, this sounds like it's porn.
I know, some sort of Peeping Tom simulator.
It was about keeping girls safe from the Night Trap, not you know,
you weren't setting,
you weren't
night
trying to kill them,
right?
And this has, you can actually see like Senator Lieberman and others talk about this on like old C-SPAN videos, and you can see Sega, who published the game, going like, "Hey, we're cool. We're not trying to destroy children." And then a Nintendo representative comes up next, like, "Oh, they're trying to destroy children. We're not though."
Right.
And then Night Trap also had a Kickstarter
very failed
as well
Kickstarter.
It did not pan out for
if they wanted at all. Yeah, Night Trap is famously not good, like, and I feel like people will only pay so much for schlock. They're like, look, I agree this is bad and it's fun in a bad way, but I'm not giving you $20. Like, number three DK Rap from Donkey Kong 64.
Here we
go.
Bat Boys.
In two. Hands together. If you want to clap, every day you do this monkey rap. He's the leader of the bunch. All right, see, That is the DK rap.
Somebody, adults, had to sit in a room and they had to storyboard the whole thing out and choreograph the dance moves and how it was all going to flow.
As you can
and
tell,
have conversations, detailed conversations.
As you can tell from the list, the writer is a big fan of Rare games. But Donkey Kong 64 was like Rare's big return to the DK series after a few years off. And you plug in the game, and the first thing you see is Cranky Kong mixing on as a DJ, and then that
the
song
turntable.
Playing like on the turntable. It's like DK.
Yeah.
I've heard people argue that it's like intentionally bad. Like by 1998, they knew what bad rap was, and that was like corny. So, well, I don't know, but I came to love it in a love it you so much you or hate it so much you love it kind of way in Smash Brothers Melee, because it was a song you can unlock the song in that game, and I really hope it's in the Wii U version. It's not in the 3DS version, but yeah, you could just I would pick that stage just be like, all right, hear that song, come on guys, let's sing along as we play. And they'd be like, shut up, I hate this Donkey Kong.
God damn it, Henry.
And it, though there is a reference to it in the 3DS version, if you Smash Brothers, because if you win, if you start doing good with DK, and the audience starts chanting your name, they say it like they do in the thing.
They say
like,
DK. Pause.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I think they should bring that back. Like I think Nintendo should not turn their back on the DK rap. They should put it in all future DK games.
I completely disagree with the following statements.
Number two, A Pirate I Was Meant to Be. Let's skip ahead a little bit here.
Sung by Guybrush.
If you try to fight us,
you will get a nasty whacking.
If you disrespect our singing,
we will feed you to a kraken.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Let's see, he picks No Time for Song. We've got to move.
Oh.
No time for song, we've got to move.
The battle will be long, but our courage we will prove.
So, okay.
Arr.
That was A Pirate I Was Meant to Be from Curse of Monkey Island. The Monkey Island games are always really funny. Like, they were known for their humor, and this was... And meanwhile, pirates are known for singing, like, and among other, like, horrible things, but and their love of rum, but also singing.
And womanizing.
So Guybrush is trying to get his crew to be like, all right, guys, we got to focus. We got to chase after this guy. They're like, yes, but first, a song. And then just the three of them just, like, start doing the pirate song dance and moving their shoulders back and forth, their elbows, and they're singing, and Guybrush is trying his best to get them to stop singing. But every line you pick for him to say, they'll just reply back with a new lyric and then just keep singing continually. Like, I swear the one of the pirates is the voice of Uncle Scrooge. I swear he is. Like,
do you have to construct some sort of
what's his name?
Elaborate device based on household items you pick up to make them stop?
Pirates, a sailing out to sea.
When you hear a gentle singing,
you'll be sure to turn and flee.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's totally Uncle Scrooge.
It kind of sounds like Liam Neeson.
You'll be sure to turn and flee.
Just saying.
Actually, let me play how you solve this puzzle here.
Oh, okay.
You say you're nasty pirates, scheming, thieving, babbush whackers. From what I've seen, I tell you, you're not pirates, you're just slackers.
A pirate I was meant to be. Trim the sails and roam the sea.
Oh, here we go.
We'll surely avoid scurvy if we all eat an orange.
And,
well... door hinge?
No.
Guess the song's over then.
Guess so.
Hook.
Wow.
So yeah, you have to, the power of the unrhymable word orange, that is how you defeat them. So there's the hint for you guys.
Scurvy dogs.
Number one, the ending from Amped 3.
I don't know this one.
Hey, player one, great job. And thanks for buying our game. Or thank your mom for us. For buying our game, I mean. Now we're almost done. Just one thing left to say. And if you don't like big musical finales, then just press A. Hey!
Congratulations! You just beat the game! You're the greatest player ever! Insert name!
if you didn't.
Wow.
You're the reason clever. Clever. Insert name. great song.
That should be at the end of every game.
Yeah, kind of.
So Amp 3, you could not tell from that song, is a snowboarding game for the Xbox 360.
Oh, of course it is.
I thought it was an energy drink game.
But, well, I mean, energy drinks are assumed in there, like with the snowboarders. It's an irreverent game in general, and they have all these like kind of flash animated style cutscenes. But that turns into just like you beat the game and just a severed pig's head. Or an animated pig's head. I guess not severed in that you don't like see like it.
Yeah, it's not gruesome in any way.
No, but it's like a disembodied.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry, severed is a
noting
more horrible.
Pig's head.
It just starts singing that song and it gets like bigger and bigger until it ends with like a giant explosion of the entire world. Or also like you don't actually. It. Let me show you how it goes all over the place in this song.
I've reached the end.
Unicorn and a rainbow in this scene.
Special friend.
Oh, why am I the bad guy?
Well, you weren't exactly good.
I didn't steal or technically lie. I'm so misunderstood.
Is that the unicorn singing?
And then it comes, yeah, of course there's a rap.
Awesome! It's almost as awesome
they're
as
coming
the story
out of a
that
gas
my
station.
Cousin told me about this kid.
See, now they're just talking up how cool their song is, even. Like, that just shows you how much
it's
pride
so
they have in their work, that they're talking up how awesome their song is. I think that was a good topper for the list of the top 7 insane video game musical numbers no one asked for. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have a couple previews, reviews to talk about, and the community segment all in one fabulous segment right when we get back.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back to the second combo current events community segment. So I don't think there was any big news to talk about, though. You guys should check out the Golden Joystick Awards on our site. We have a list of all of them. Our bros in the UK gave them out.
Yeah, Witcher 3 opening sequence.
Yeah, some really cool video of that, and Bloodborne, and some other things too. Project Cars was in there. So check that out. Also, real quickly, I got to play Smash Brothers for the Wii U, and I had a lot of fun. Like, there was this gigantic video of, like, the 50 things you should know about Smash Brothers. But just the one I want to talk about was 8-player battles. Like, those were awesome. Like, they were also insane. Like, everybody asked me, like, so is it so chaotic it makes no sense? I'm like, yeah, it almost does make no sense. But that's why
it
it's fun.
Crazy. It looks really crazy.
Well, yeah, you've seen the videos of it. Like, we captured some video from it. It was
Thomas's shoulder, and
it was so crazy. Though I don't know who's going to have the 8 controllers at home all the time, just set up like, all right, guys, 8 players, like
professionals.
Like, even when I was playing Melee all the time, I didn't have 8 friends who were always over, like ready to play.
They'll have it hooked up in the common room at the quad, and you can all meet there after class.
Kids today are so lucky. So lucky. I wish I had that. But yeah, so it comes out on the 21st. I look forward to when we will be able to play it ourselves here, though. Like, I played it on like a 60-inch screen. I wonder, like, if it's any smaller than that, like, how can you even keep track of the
Yeah, we'll
players?
Have to hook it up to the conference room with the projector.
Oh, yeah, totally. Ooh. All right, and then quickly, the reviews of the week. So the big one we did internally, unfortunately Ashley's not here to talk about it, is Fantasia Music Evolved. Though, Jan, you played a bit of it with her.
I played enough to make my arms hurt.
Yeah, I played 2 songs, which was enough to make my arms hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. I love the customization of music. You always get a new song. It was pretty cool. I've never experienced anything like that before. I think it's a really cool take on the game. And, you know, mathematically speaking, I think it's hard to make the song sound bad.
Yeah.
You know, little customizable spots in there.
I really do like the remix portions where you just move your hands around, and it makes it feel like, oh, I'm an awesome remixer, man. I should become a DJ, yo.
Yeah.
That's what you say when you finish it.
Yo, but, yeah. No, the music selections are really good. It's kind of neat to think of, like, a parent and kid playing it together and introducing them to some of, like, their songs of, like, The Police and The Who and Queen and, you know. But then there's, you know, Nicki Minaj, and there's Gorillaz and CeeLo, and then the classical ones were actually a lot of fun. The classical ones were a great way to experience classical music in a different way.
Classical is your first thought when you think of
it. It is. It is. And, you know, there's some definite nods back to the movie. You know, when you go into multiplayer, you're on the platform, you have to shake hands like Mickey did.
That was great.
Yeah, that was. And, I mean, the graphics were kind of ambient. I mean, I imagine it would be something.
It's really difficult
it's trippy
to show, like, in screenshots. Because I remember looking at images and stuff for before it came out, and it's just like a black screen with maybe a silhouette and some colored lines. It's like, what am I looking
at? Well, I mean, Harmonix really gets the Kinect. Like, they're the best Kinect developer around, I would say. Like, and the Dance Central games, too. But this is, like, their most, like, chill one. I think partially because it is made for kids. Well, for families in general. So it doesn't, like, punish you. It doesn't say, like, you screwed up, failed. No, you don't get to hear the rest of the song. Like, it just makes you feel good instead of tense, like, I'm going to screw up, like you would in, say, Rock Band.
Right. Yeah. No, like, here's how to phrase this. In the 70s, if you took a bunch of acid and played, it would probably be really cool because of the sound and the color.
The streaks
of sound going, like, across the screen and you're following them. I mean,
you probably wouldn't be so good with, like, the precision movements.
Probably not, but you could just be like, whoa, colors.
And the remixes to each song, like, at the beginning, you get to pick, like, different levels of the remix. Like, it makes the each playthrough feel a little different.
Yeah, no, it was super fun. I look forward to playing again.
And so Ashley definitely enjoyed it in that she gave it a 4 out of 5, a very good score for Fantasia Music Evolve. I do feel like it's been a very long time since that game got announced. Like, it feels like early 2013.
We've been hearing about it for a while.
Yeah, so it's one of those ones where it finally comes out, you go like, well, didn't that come out already? I remember seeing a video for that on a website that closed down.
Like, oh, snap.
Anyway, then the other one was David Roberts, our, what would you call him? Our out of office bro.
Editor at large.
That's a better official thing for him. He reviewed Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth. Which
sounded really cool. I read the review, and it sounded pretty awesome of being able to take that step into space and find your own planet.
I love Civ. I love, love, love Civ. So I the only reason I wouldn't play this is just because it's too much. Like, I don't have the time to put into it. Like, the same thing happened. Most Firaxis games do this to me. Like, definitely XCOM. Like, I just started up XCOM in the morning and, for real, like, looked out the window and it was like 6 p.m.
But one more turn, Henry. Just one more turn.
I downloaded and started the game up last night, but I've only played about like 20 minutes of it.
It's hardly enough to do anything.
It really is. But just like seeing the opening turns and looking at all the different menus and stuff, it is very much Civilization 5, but on hard mode, because nothing has any context. So, like, if you load up a game of Civ 5, you know what iron is, and you know what a farm is, and, like, what all these different resources are, just because they're things that exist in the world. But everything in Beyond Earth is alien, because you're on these alien worlds. So it's like, do I want to harvest refractorum crystals? I don't know what those do exactly.
Actually, Max did a really good feature this week about the things that will frustrate you and that, like, every Civ player has experienced.
Right.
And it's a really good read. You guys should check it out.
It's a mix of highs and lows.
It made me want to go play. I'm like, I don't think that would make me sick.
No, as I suggested in a feature of my own this week, Civ Revolutions is a good, like, first Civ. Like,
they made it
to be a good first Civ, and the Civ, like, people go like, no, Civ 5, play that. I'm like, that is too hard for, like, people just getting into it. Like, even I hadn't played Civ in a while, so when I played Revolutions, I was like, oh, this is getting me back into it.
Like, yeah, I had only, like, dabbled, and I, like, knew of Civ, but Civ Revolution was was where I got my start, and then I graduated into Civ 5. And then I went back and played some 3 and 4 just for context. But yeah, I started with Revolution and went to 5.
So I will have to check out Revolution because I totally want to do this now. This sounds like
it's really good.
It's not going to be play sick. It sounds like
console,
fun.
And, but there's also a really good DS port of it as well.
The DS version is amazing. Like, I've put hundreds of hours into it.
Like, that's awesome.
Actually really good.
Wow. And if you have to play it on iOS, like, it's
there's
not
a really
even
terrible
bad.
iOS version.
There are worse iOS versions of things.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, so David Roberts gave it a 4 out of 5 as well. Really enjoyed it. So those were the big reviews this week. I think you can look forward to a Sunset Overdrive one very soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
From one Lucas Sullivan, who is on his way to Tokyo very soon, I believe.
Yeah. And then Henry and I both played some Pokemon this week, Ruby Sapphire.
Because they sent out the demo to lots of people of the game, which is a really weird start where you just hop off a Pokemon with a rich guy who just tells you about how awesome it is to be rich.
Yeah.
it is awesome.
He's not lying.
No, you know, I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was cool. It was cool to, you know, mega evolve, like, right out of the gate and, you know, just smash all of your enemies. And it looks great, too. I can't wait to play it. I can't wait to spend that 80 hours.
Yeah, and you do get I think it's a Mega Steelix that unlocks if you finish it. Like, it has transferred over stuff to your save.
It does.
In the final version, which I really like that. I hope that just becomes, like, standard with pre-release demos from now on. Just like, look.
Right, yeah. Nintendo's done a really good job with their pre-release demos. Yeah. Like, the Bravely Default demo, you could carry over, like, items and stuff.
I hate in demos having to, like, play 50 minutes of it and then play those 50 minutes again, like, 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I'm still sad I don't have a shiny Gengar.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to get our hands on that.
I know.
Bayonetta 2 is out this week, guys. Let me just remind you, really cool game. If you have a Wii U, you should not own the Bayonetta 2.
And it comes with the first game.
Yeah, you probably didn't. If you're a Wii U owner, then you maybe missed Bayonetta the first time around on the 360 and PS3. So, come on, get with it. All right, so now, with no break, right into the community segment.
Holy cow.
Did we get to hear the awesome community song?
No, I don't have it.
You don't have a community segment.
Community segment. Okay.
Okay, so last week's question of the week was, what game have you replayed the most times? And I'll start us off here with Dizzy Dragon, with 3 Z's, Dizzy Dragon. Diddy Kong Racing. As you get older, the world just keeps finding new ways to bring you down. For me, DKR brings me back to my childhood with all its colorful levels and catchy songs. No matter what is going on in my life, it always finds a way to make me feel a little better. I play it at least once or twice a year when I am feeling blue. I also go back and play the snow levels every Christmas Eve to get me in the Christmas spirit.
Oh,
wow.
That's a nice
That's lovely.
Sentiment.
Heartwarming.
So mine comes from Bravely Rob. He says, most definitely Chrono Trigger, my first JRPG. I rented it from Blockbuster on accident, thinking it was an action game because of the back of the box, and I was hooked afterward. Rented the game almost every other weekend for a year, and I never got to beat it because other people kept saving over my data. I feel your pain, Rob. Bought a used one on eBay for the SNES and burnt out the save battery. Bought the PS1 version and played numerous times, and finally got the Nintendo DS version, which is still played every few months when I have no new games to play.
I mean, playing until the save battery runs out.
That's pretty rough. Yeah, you really must have put some hours into it.
All right, there's gonna be a reading portion of this, huh?
Sorry.
It's like a nightmare from my
voiceover
for the video review days. All right, well, I got a comment here from Dango Mushi.
Yep.
Across a slew of platforms, there is one game I will forever come back to, Galaga. Mm. As a youngster, I was drawn in by the single quarter price point and gnarly space bug cabinet art.
You got it.
I was pleasantly surprised to find an NES port oddly subtitled Demons of Death.
That is odd.
On the PlayStation, I visited a virtual museum to play it, and the GBA Namco Museum had a permanent residence in my DS bottom slot for whenever I needed my fix.
bottom slot.
I miss that GBA bottom slot on the DS. Let me tell you.
Let's see. Where did I? Now, as a mature man-child, it is comforting to find a Galaga cabinet at several bars in Maria. When I have my midlife crisis in 10 years, I'm going to get the cocktail tabletop version.
Ooh.
I've always dreamed of getting a cocktail tabletop. There would be Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, I think it would have to be Miss Pac-Man. That was the one I knew the most.
I think they have combos of that. We actually have a combo Miss Pac-Man Galaga machine here. Just nobody ever plays around with it.
Like, aww.
That's what that is the dirty secret of having your own arcade machine, that it looks cool, right, and then you play it for a couple weeks, and then you're like,
it's just
man,
in
done.
The way forever.
It just unplug
goes,
it.
It goes in your garage or just sits in the corner of your kitchen.
So sad.
Anywho.
So sad.
Or, you know, you just end up doing coke off the top of it for the rest of its life.
Wow, that's dark.
Very specific, Frank.
Really. Oblique Zombie says, Ratchet and Clank, up your arsenal. I remember beating it 13 times as a kid. Unlocking skins is still the greatest feeling in the video game world, and with skins, armor, and the amazing controls of RNC, I kept breezing through it. Using explosives and tiny robots to massacre baddies and then getting swaths of bolts afterwards just felt so good. And it sounded good too, hearing all the clinks of the bolts when I suck them in.
So, you know what? I'm going to go. The winner of this week is Bravely Rob, just
Woo!
Because of his dedication to burning out a save battery.
Yeah.
It's just like, it really is impressive. So, Bravely Rob, you're the winner, and you will get a special something. How? Send me an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com to claim your prize. Just identify yourself. Let us know. You're the winner. I'm this guy. And I will figure out something to send to you. So
tell us your console.
Oh yeah, tell us the consoles you own, and just so we know what exactly to send out to you. And so congrats. And so you could win something next week if you answer this question in the comments, which is, so we had a lot of musical stuff this episode, and musical stuff related to Disney. Pull that out.
There we go.
And musical stuff related to Disney. So, what classic Disney song do you wish was in a game?
Jan. I love the buzzards from the Jungle Book that look like the Beatles, and they sing the barbershop quartet of We're Your Friend.
Oh, that is
good. To the bitter end.
That is such a weird, it's really weird that the end of the movie, he just like is hanging out with buzzards and waiting to die.
And they're all just like, no, don't stop that again. And they're, you know, talking. And yeah, that was, I love that song.
I wonder which accent Brits find more like offensive, that one or Dick Van Dyke's like, Mary Poppins.
It's Mary Poppins.
Why a chimney sweep is as happy as can be. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This just reminds me of how much you sounded like the lizard from Alice in Wonderland. The little chimney sweep lizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Cockney accent. It's just
there
like,
goes Bill.
The walking. Well, all right. So I am going to go with the Gaston song from Beauty and the Beast.
One.
Because it's a great comedy song.
Oh, three cheers for Gaston.
No one fights like Gaston. No one bites like Gaston. It's such a
he eats 12 dozen eggs every morning.
Yeah.
When I was a boy, I ate 12 dozen eggs.
Or it might have been 5 dozen.
No, 5 dozen eggs.
Yeah, it was 5 dozen.
Every morning to help me get large. Yes. And now I'm grown. I eat 12 dozen eggs. And I'm roughly
the size of a barge.
He like cracks all the eggs into a glass. That song's good.
Yeah,
that one's a good one.
That a fight breaks out in the middle of that song.
It does.
So it would be a really cool like battle scene. Like they could easily stick that in the next Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know if it would necessarily work in a game, but I always enjoy doing Aladdin's A Whole New World during karaoke. It's definitely a good duet song that everybody knows and gets into.
We'll have to do that next time we go karaokeing. We just went karaokeing. We did a GR karaoke last weekend, and it was fun.
I don't think we sang any Disney songs.
We didn't, but you know they have them. They have like everything there.
Frozen last time.
Frozen. Oh,
yeah, you did. You did Let It Go.
Which will
you and Ash.
Kill your voice. Like you get to the end like that. Well, even
to get up in those upper octaves.
Well, even she couldn't on the Oscars. Like even she couldn't reach that thing.
Auto tune.
Yeah, well, no, like she, her voice, she's a trained Broadway singer. Like she sings.
Oh, yeah, Idina Menzel is huge. She was in the original Rent.
I think you mean Adil Dazeem, right?
No.
What was that? How did he pronounce it? This is an old joke now.
No, keep it going.
She's also married. She's married.
She was married to Taye Diggs. Oh, I don't know that they're still married. I don't know.
Okay.
He's cute.
This is Broadway talk now.
All right.
Frank. Come on, any Disney song.
Since I was talking about Alice in Wonderland, I'd have to say, like, what was that, The Walrus and the Carpenter? Mm-hmm. Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, I like the, it's like a sing-song.
It is a singing song. It's like a ballad.
Mm-hmm. That was a really, when I was a kid.
It was dark.
Like, it was very dark. To just, at the end, they're like, no, he killed it. He ate those babies. Like, that's the
I don't know that anything's darker than the song from The Hunchback, though. We're like,
hold on. I got you beat, but go ahead.
Because it's like, it's the religious guy, and he's talking about, like, his lust and desire for the gypsy girl. And it's real dark.
That one gets real creepy.
And it's like hellfire, and he's just like, there's like a vision of her, like, dancing in fire, and you're just like, this is so not okay.
Yeah, Hunchback got way too dark. That was a turn off to me.
But do you remember the last song in The Brave Little Toaster?
At the climax
of The Brave Little Toaster, the appliances who are looking for their master arrive at the garbage dump where there are a bunch of cars and they're all stacked up, and there's this magnet that's picking up the cars and putting them on the crusher machine. And there's a song that plays where all of the cars, they take turns and they sing about how they're going to die and what they did in life. So, like, they'll land on a car and he's like, I used to be this race car, and then they drop him on the conveyor belt and he just talks about all these things he did in his life, and then at the end he's always just like, and now I'm just broken and beat, and then boom, he gets crushed and dies. And then they go to the next car and he starts singing about how he used to drive on the beach, and this young couple, they fell in love, but then they moved away and now he's all broken down, crushed, dead, boom, next car. And it just goes and goes.
That is,
and it's so, it's,
that is terrible.
It's so dark.
That film has a lot of dark things. There's the air conditioner kills itself, basically.
It tries to kill itself. That's in the opening of the movie. There's the insane air conditioner character who is so frustrated with being stuck in the wall that he just loses it and tries to kill himself. And then they all leave the house all freaked out. And then at the end of the movie, the master comes back and fixes the air conditioner.
And there's that bit with the flower that falls in love with the toaster.
The little flower.
And it's just like,
because the flower is in love with, he thinks it's another flower because he sees it.
Oh my
his
God.
Reflection. Yeah.
I'm traumatized.
And the toaster can't reciprocate.
I missed this one. And I'm kind
of. Oh, you should go back. The Brave Little Toaster is so good. It's so good.
I don't know.
And it holds up really well.
All right. So, what Disney song would you like to see in a video game? Or maybe you've even seen it in a video game if you could reference when it appeared. But tell us in the comments and you could win something just like Bravely Rob did today. So keep listening to next week's episode to find out if you won. I think that's it for this week. But I want to say be sure to follow us on Twitter and on the Facebook.
Go Giants.
Go Giants.
Go Donuts.
And also, you know, if Lorenzo was here, he would totally say, watch our live streams every week on Wednesday and formerly Friday, but no longer.
The live stream formerly known as Monday.
Is now Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Monday.
Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time is when we do our other streams. So Wednesday is 3:30 Pacific, Monday 4 o'clock Pacific. And we give away stuff on that, too. I did a bunch of giveaways this week.
Yeah, you did.
For Dragon Ball Trivia, were a couple of them, which made people angry. They're just like, stop asking about Dragon Ball. This has nothing to do with Lords of the Fallen. And then,
you know what? Pokemon.
Yeah, and then you dropped them with Pokemon.
I mean, you know, look, everybody should know something about Dragon Ball.
I mean, there have been enough Dragon Ball Z games that you should have been able to just pick
up. Goku, Gohan, Vegeta. I know.
Vegeta.
All right, so, until next time, Radio Radar out!